Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
We have been doing topicals since Thanksgiving, but guess what? We get to get back into Romans. So if you have your Bibles, we're just going to go over a few verses here. Chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And if you're able, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Starting at verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love. To love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time in your word. We pray, Lord, as we've just sang about casting all idols and everything aside, we pray that we would hear what your Spirit would speak to us through your word this morning, that it's uplifting, it's encouraging. So, Lord, we just pray your blessing be upon this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Owe no one anything, Shakespeare said, neither be a borrower or a lender be. The Bible, though, says this. The wicked borrows and does not repay. What is it saying? Stay out of debt. Remember verse 7? We already went over that. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Does that mean that you don't borrow? No, that's not what it means. What it means, though, is to pay your debts. Especially in our society, you can't buy a house without giving your right arm and your firstborn. So again, it's a matter of repaying what you borrow. If you borrow something from somebody, you pay it back. You give it back. Now, it's also, is it speak of not lending? Well, of course it does not mean that. Because if I was to go on to that same verse, it said that, but righteous shows mercy and gives. Another psalm says, a good man deals graciously and lends. Jesus says, you'll give and you don't expect anything in return. So borrowing and giving. But here's a question we're looking at is, why do we owe? Actually, before that even. This is speaking of something else too. And I think this is important for us to hear. Maybe not us, but this generation. If we owe, it means that we need to work. Work is a God-given blessing and curse at the same time, isn't it? But the Bible says this about work. If you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. In 2 Thessalonians, he says, for even we were with you, we commended and commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. In Ephesians, Paul says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with all his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to those who are in need. So again, work is something we are commanded to do. It's something that we're able to take something and also to share with others and also to provide for our families. I know that's kind of something that's kind of a no-brainer, but still I think that in this generation, sometimes we do need to hear that. I remember being told many times when I was younger, there's no free lunches. Well, there used to be during the Depression, but nowadays there is not. There is no free lunch. And actually, as my grandfather would say, even during the Depression time, we still paid for it, one way or another. So, and getting past that, there is something we need to talk about. What does it mean then we owe? And why is it love is what we owe? Well, very simply, if we look at the law, We know that no matter what the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth shall be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God because nobody could keep it. The requirements of the law was no man could keep, for the wages of sin is death, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But see, something happened, didn't it? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now that should just warm your hearts. Every one of us. It's been paid. It's been paid. Done. So what does he desire of you and me? Love. To love. The debt to love can never be paid in full. To love one another fulfills the law. Jesus said there's two great commandments. One is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other is likened unto it. Love others as yourself. To love. To love. If you love God, you won't have another God. If you love God, you will throw all idols aside. You won't make a graven image. And when you speak of his name, you'll speak of it with honor and glory. And if you love others, you'll find that you won't commit adultery, verse 9. You won't murder. You won't steal. You won't bear false witness. You will not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up because you love. Because love does no harm. At all. Love. There's no fear in love. But love does no harm. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Nobody could keep the law out of duty and self-effort. It only revealed our need for him, our Savior. And as we learn in the Bible, he did this because of love. God demonstrates his love. Christ died for us. John also says this. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love him because he first loved us. So see, it's receiving, accepting that love. It's understanding that love. It's just swimming in the love. Growing in the love. Living in the love. God loves you. God saved you. God paid it all. That should lift all your hearts, my heart too. There's nothing more you can do. But wait a minute, you're saying to love. Yes, but we'll fully dig into that too. Because he first loved us. He loves you. He loves me. Now, if you look at this, it's kind of interesting because all of a sudden the law is fulfilled. See, we understand something in Scripture. What is it? You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't fulfill the law. You can't obey it to its degree that it needs to be, which is complete. So, instead, now, God's saying, now, I love you, now love others. Because see, and love me, and loving me and loving others, you're going to naturally now keep the commandments. Just as smooth as we receive the love, we accept the love, and we give the love right back. Love and obedience go hand in hand Obedience to God is the outward expression of love. Obeying not to get, but obeying because of what we've already received. It's yours. If you were, God forbid, die this moment, you would be in the arms of love. Never needing another need, never crying another tear, not feeling another pain, not understanding what shame is anymore, nor guilt. Sin has been covered. You and I have entered into a family now, the family of God. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Love. They say it's what the world needs, but really what it needs is the one who is love. God is love. It was manifest and expressed through His Son. But now, to understand this too, is obedience is a hard thing for us, because it conjures up discipline, submission, things that our nature doesn't like. You know, your parents. Oh, your sweet little one. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Oh, yes, true. They cried, they weep, they did stuff. They did stuff in the little bag underneath them. You had to clean it. I get that. You had to feed them. You had to do all these things. But the thing that really started getting to you is when they said that two-letter word, no. No? I've fed you. I've clothed you. I've nurtured you. I've hugged you. I've kissed on you. And now you're telling me no? Love is manifested by obedience. I used to ask my kids, do you love me? Of course. Then obey me. That's all I ask. If I ask you to go do something, then do it. I don't want to have to come in here and make sure you do it. I want you to do it out of the goodness of your heart because of your love for me. And because I've asked you to do this. You didn't ask, Dad, you commanded. Well, that's beside the point. I told you to do something. And I expect you to do it. Now you're smiling because you get it. But if that was all it was again a child receiving our love. But again, it's a good picture because it's that battle. It's that battle between that little nature, that old nature that's going to rise out of that little one. It's going to cry out, especially when it hits those teenage years. And you know that's true. But see, it's to receive and accept that love that a parent has. Keeps that child on the straight path. And if you will, it keeps us growing. Yes, I said growing. Do you know obedience does something for us? When we look at love and obedience, we can see something hand to hand. And we see that owing is actually providing. Giving is actually receiving. Receive, give, receive. And understand this, I have seven things here that obedience brings us. And the first, I've already alluded to it, but in John chapter 14, I have to find myself here, because I jumped across a lot of them, folks. John 14 says this, if you love me, keep my commandments, I will pray to the Father and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. See, when we came to Christ, Christ came into us via His Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is in us. So obedience, we understand something now. Receive the Holy Spirit. by obeying the Lord, receiving Christ. Now He's in us. But here's the two things that Scripture says don't do. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, which we find in Ephesians chapter 4. And if we were to look at that, basically what it says there, when we do things ill to our brother, it grieves the Holy Spirit. When we don't follow the love commandments God has given to us, it grieves His Spirit. The other is to quench His Spirit. To quench His Spirit is not to do the things you know you're supposed to do. We all do that. Quenching and grieving. But see, when we obey, when we don't grieve, when we don't quench, what it does do is it frees the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. Obedience frees the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. To obey. The second thing I want you to look at is in Romans chapter 5, in love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Obedience pours out the love of God. You can't outgive God. See, God's not just saying, here's the beauty of it. He's saying, love others. Now, if you're wise and if you understand this truth, then you're praying right now, Lord, help me to love others. Because it's awful hard. I mean, it can be downright in ourselves impossible. How do you love somebody that's cranky, crabby, that's always negative, that speaks ill of you, that mocks you, calls you names that we won't repeat here? And that's just your spouse. No, I'm kidding. No, whoever that you're with. And you're saying, how am I supposed to do it? What you want to do is lash out and get even. God says, love your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Well, how do you do that? Oh, if we don't grieve, if we don't quench the Spirit, His love is being poured in us, it pours out. To be yielded to the Spirit is to love others. With the love He's given us. Now, think about that. God's saying, now go love people. That's hard. Now, us, we look at this account that we have, and we're going, I got very little in this account. How am I going to love others? But so what we don't understand is God's account is infinite. And God says, the more you write that check of love, the more I'm pouring in. You can't outgive me on this. Test me. Love others. But I can't. You're right. Lord, help me to love others. Fill me with Your Spirit to love. Pour in me this love. But see, the thing is then we have to push that feeling of that flesh of saying, oh, I can't do this. It's hard. This is just ridiculous. How can He ask me? And just do it. Needing to love. To yield to His Spirit. Number three, it's found in John chapter 14. He, Jesus says, who has my commandments and keeps them, it is He who loves me. Obey me, love me. Just like we're talking about. And He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Obedience brings fellowship with the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I will reveal myself. You ever feel dry? You ever feel like, where's God? And the question again goes back to, are we obeying what God has asked of us? Are we quenching or grieving Him? And it really is a day-to-day thing. Not for condemnation. See, that's what you'll do. That's what I'll do. This is condemning. No, it's not. It's freeing. It's like, why am I holding on to this little dirty idol that brings me nothing? This morning, I went and got coffee early this morning, and the person, because it was early, I was the only one that was coming to the store. This person was outside smoking. And I'm thinking, man, I'm sure glad I don't have that habit. As I went in there, she said, oh, it's so cold. I said, yeah, it's, can I be a father here for a second? She goes, okay. I go, quit smoking. You won't have to go out there in the cold. Right? It's like, sad thing. She says, it's what gets me through the day. Did I say anything other than that? Somebody else came in, but trust me, it'll be another conversation. But see, that's what we do. We hold on to those things which we think gets us through the day. We all do, whatever that is. We think that's what we need. Reality is what we need is just Him. Is that what we just saying? And Him giving us the strength and the courage to obey, but also be in fellowship. Is He really our all? Have we discovered Him to be everything He says He to be? No, we remember this. If the answer is no, the problem is always on our side. It's just as Caleb mentioned earlier, paraphrasing this. Oh, He so much wants to give. But remember, He's a very good, good Father. And He's always doing what's best for us. Even if that question or that answer to prayer is, just do what I say now. You know, that's a simple truth too. Really what obedience is what's God asking you to do right now? What is it He requires of you? What has He been speaking to you? Whether it's the new year, yes, I am going to read my Bible every morning. I'm going to pray every morning or night. I'm going to read the Bible to my kid. I don't know. What did the Lord speak to you? What's burning on your heart? What is it like, you know, I really should do this? Then do it. Don't wait. Do it. We need to get rid of those things we don't need. Just remember, this is about being close fellowship with Him. Number four, it's found in John chapter 15. Jesus says, if the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may abide or remain in you and that your joy may be full. That word abide, basically, if you will, it means to be at home. Or it also can be translated to be held by. Be held by my love. Be at home in my love. So many times what we do is we look at our outward circumstances. And then we find that we're not abiding or being held. Look what it says. This is what number five, or what number are we on? Number four brings us. Brings us obedience, helps us to rest not only in His love, but His joy. Feel joyless? See, that's another thing. Isn't it interesting? We're always trying to figure out how to make ourselves happy. You know that? How can I be content today? And now, if you're a parent, normally it's something like this. If my kids, just like you just said, would just obey. Stop fighting. Stop arguing. Stop complaining. Right? Oh, be careful. Because you too are a child of the King, child of God. Isn't that what we do? Complain and whine. It was funny because I remember some guys when they were starting to go through the Old Testament. I remember them coming up to me and going, "Man, Israel, I'd never be like them. All I do is whine and complain. God's doing all these great miracles in front of them. What are they doing? Whining and complaining." I just listened. Why? Because that's what we do. Whine and complain. God answered a prayer. God did something wonderful. God did something powerful in your life. Whatever it was. But then 2 weeks later, that was yesterday. Now God has left me. Everything's terrible. I can't believe this person's like that. And we lose sight on what God has done. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? But obedience really helps us to rest in His joy. And again, draw the picture here. Is that Jesus enjoys you. He rejoices over you. Think about that. He loves you and He rejoices over you. Even though we whine and complain, He still loves you. And He rejoices over you. In fact, remember something. He saved you and saved me because of the joy of looking at the cross. He knew what was going to happen. We were going to be part of His family. No, I don't fully get that either. But still lifts our heart up and we understand that somebody really does love us. Somebody really does rejoice over us. It says, when your child comes in and you just look at them for who they are and you just rejoice over them. God, thank you for this child. Of course, use this before they open their mouth or they act up. But just, Lord, usually what happens too is, you know, at night when they're asleep, you open the door and you go look at them. And they're sleeping like little angels. And your heart is warm. You say, oh, thank God for you. Thank God for you, child, whatever the child's name is. Oh, I'm so blessed to be your mother or your father. And the morning comes and you go, what did I ask for? What did I pray? What did I thank? Just see that moment. God rejoices over you. He loves you. He loves me. Even when we whine and complain. But to really experience it is in obedience. Number 5 is found in Matthew. This one, you know the story. Jesus is talking about building a house. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it did not fall, because it was founded on the rock. Pointing to himself. Built on me. Obedience strengthens our resolve and our character. Struggles and everything else that we're going through life. Because we know something. Even though everything doesn't go well here, maybe you always feel like you're behind the rock, behind the eight ball, whatever you want to say. The truth of the matter is again, God is doing His work, that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Why? Because He's fashioning, He's shaping, He's molding. Here is the rock quarry, as they say. This is the place that He does His work lovingly, with loving hands, saying, this is not at all. But I have planned for you an eternity you'll never, ever be able to conceive here. And in eternity, it'll take you all eternity to enjoy, to experience, and to understand. Because you'll never fully arrive. Ever. Did I mention that He loves us? Remember, that's one of the things that we want to grow in this year as a church, is God's love for us. Number 6, it's found in 2 Corinthians. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, obedience brings victory. But did you hear it? It really is submitting unto Him with the authority He has given us to stand there and to fight whatever it is that we're fighting against, especially in our flesh, to understand He's already given us the victory. But what do? We confess in obedience to everything, taking every thought captive. Does this really bring me closer to You? Is this going to help me understand Your love? Do I embrace Your grace? Or does this push me away for fellowship of You? Because that's what obedience is, that you're under the commander of the Lord's army, and so am I. And He's saying, now trust, now stand on Me, stand firm, stand true. Don't be confused. Don't be baffled. Be discerning. If there's something that's taking you away from Me, then nail it down now. Don't wait. Don't say, oh, isn't this a cute little sin? Could sin grow up to be big monsters? You do know that, right? Why am I talking like this? I don't know. Number 7 is found in John. I'll give you a little background here. Jesus is risen from the dead. He met the gang in Galilee. Remember? Remember they're fishing. They fish all night. Jesus isn't there yet. They didn't catch anything. And then Jesus basically on the shore says, boys, have you caught anything? They said, nope. He said, then cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast now and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. You're saying, well, what does that bring us? See, obedience does something. Opens us up to the spectacular. You never know what God is going to do when He says to do this. Because you never know what it opens up. And you never know what God is going to do. But that should be anticipation, expectation for all of us. That something can happen. Not that you expect it to happen, but you're open because God can do anything. When God tells you to do something, even when it's hard to do, you never know what's going to happen from that. How it's going to affect somebody else. What it's going to do to your circumstances. Just because God saw that you obeyed Him. It opens us up to the spectacular. And if you will, right now, we need a lot of spectacular. To be in wonder of His majesty, His mystery, and always knowing that He's at work. So in obedience, it's always the understanding that God is always at work. Even when the zillionth time He's told you to do the same thing over and over over and over again, you never know. And that one time that you finally obey, I shouldn't say finally, but you obey again, He does the spectacular. Now, say it, you know, my family, and I know some of yours, is we're praying for somebody to come back to the Lord. And we keep praying. And we'll keep praying. Because we just never know when that one day, that one moment, God does spectacular. Now, we've gone over a lot of them. Remember? Obedience frees the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. Obedience pours out the love of God. Obedience brings close fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Obedience helps us to rest in His love, which produces joy. Obedience strengthens our resolve and character. Obedience brings victory. Obedience opens us up to the spectacular. So how do we begin? Well, just like everything, though, we're reading this, and if you notice, you don't really get this slap in the face all the time that you're not obeying me, or, you know, you think that this is what's going to happen. That's what a lot of people used to think not that long ago, that if I disobey God, he's going to discipline me harsh and stuff like that. Well, we don't understand something. See, God is very gentle with us. And yes, he does chasten those he loves, so don't forget that. But there's a picture in Revelation that really concludes this. See, as we've heard these things, as they've stirred in your heart, that God so wants to love you that he wants to pour his love into you. And if you will, as it says in Revelation 3:20, he's standing at the door of your heart right now knocking. The only way to really be in deep fellowship is to obey the knock and open the door. No matter how you feel, no matter what circumstances you're going through, no matter how much you think he's let you down, gently, quietly, he says, if you open it up, I'll fellowship with you. But it takes obedience to the knock. Open the door. And let him in. Let his love in. Let his love in where it hurts. Let his love in where you feel shame. Let his love in where you feel guilt. Let his love in when you feel, where you feel let down. Let his love in where you're mourning. Let his love in where you sorrow. Let his love in every facet of your life. And accept his love. And then take that love and give it away. That's it. Lot. We have to deal with self. But it's an invitation for each of us. Every one of us. Did I mention that he loved you so much that he paid it all? To enter into the love of his household? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, help us to be men and women that hear your voice. To owe nothing to anybody but to love. And in that love is to obey you in all facets of our life, knowing and understanding that in obedience, Lord, your love is being poured out in and through us to others. But it can't help but splash upon us again of understanding what it means to be in fellowship with you, to have victory in you, to have joy in you. To understand all these things, it's just all to us a gentle reminder. Truly, Jesus, you did pay it all. I just want to pray for those right now, Lord, that this message has hit them square in the heart. I just pray that you would minister to them. I pray that you'd continue to open their eyes and their ears to this truth. To your message to them. Lord, whatever it is that's keeping them from truly opening that door by obedience and obeying, I pray, Father, that they would kick it all aside, that they would cast that idol aside, that they would cast that hurt aside, they would cast whatever it is and just open the door and allow you to sit and abide in their heart, knowing and ready and waiting for you to speak the words that they need to hear from you, even if they have to wait and wait. Knowing of your character and knowing of the work that you are doing and will accomplish in them. And that you love them with an infinite, wonderful love. And that you rejoice over them. And Father, for the rest of us, it's that day-to-day grind. It's that moment-by-moment, sometimes failing. Help us to understand, Lord, that your love never runs dry. That every moment we can once again find fellowship with you. And if there's things that we need to cast out, if there's things that we're quenching, if there's things that we're grieving you with, we pray that you would help us to see them in a new light, that they are the very things that keep us from your heart. Receiving your love. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.